Our gospel lesson comes to us today from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find that in the back half on page 55. Hear now these words. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, inspire us by your true and living Spirit, that we may know more of what it means to be your children, and that we may faithfully respond to the call of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one in whose name we have gathered, and the one in whose name we pray. Amen. So those of you who know me know I'm a bit of a church or Bible nerd. So I must admit I was a bit surprised when I saw that the plan was for the story of Simeon and Anna to be told today as B-listers. Now for those of you who don't know, there's a thing called a lectionary, and it tells the story of Jesus on a 3-year cycle. And so every 3 years, the story of Anna and Simeon falls on that Sunday after Christmas. They're not B-listers, they're in the lectionary. You get to hear them all the time, right? Well, last week, I was visiting with Deacon Sam.
Thanks.
And he noted how glad he was that I was preaching Anna and Simeon this week.
Thanks.
You see, he's preaching next week, and he didn't want to preach on them again. Now, I got to admit that I've been pretty lucky as I've been on staff here at Chum C. I've gotten to preach some of the important times in the church here. I've got to preach Pentecost, Father's Day, stewardship sermons, even Christmas Eve. But at most churches, associates are the B-listers. And so they typically only preach the B-list Sundays. You know, the Sunday after Easter, Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, Labor Day weekend, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, the Sunday after Christmas, when there's low attendance. So unless you've been an associate pastor, like Deacon Sam or myself, or you're one as devout as Anna, there's a good possibility you never heard a sermon on Simeon and Anna. So almost by accident, these two characters have certainly become B-listers. They were waiting. And I don't know about you, waiting is excruciating for me. How many of you have an Amazon Prime account? Those days when you don't even really need it in that 2 days, but it comes a day late. Ugh, right? In my Netflix, if you have to wait longer than 15 seconds for the video to start playing, you're like, ugh. How did we ever make it with dial-up? I don't get it. Well, I remember well when I was a kid. I hated waiting. And that long wait for Christmas began when we put up the Christmas tree, usually not Thanksgiving weekend, but the next weekend. And we'd put that tree up, of course, to the sound of Elvis's Christmas album playing in the background. But what made the waiting so excruciating is Mom was always great at buying those gifts early. And so they'd start accumulating under the tree. I didn't want to wait, so I'd go and I'd get those packages and I'd shake them and I'd turn them every which way. And sometimes if you can push the paper down hard enough, you could see the letters underneath coming out so I could figure out what was there. But if I figured out what was there, unless it was clothes or something, then I was even the more frustrated for having to wait because I knew what was there and I couldn't do anything with it. But that was just a few weeks. I can't imagine the wait that Simeon and Anna had endured. Israel had been a third world, conquered nation under Roman rule for about 60 years prior to Jesus' birth. And though we don't know his age, we can assume that Simeon was waiting for most of his life. And now apparently at the end of his life, he sees hope in a little child. Hoping for a change. Now the text says clearly that Anna was 84. She had spent her time in the temple praying and fasting most of her life, presumably waiting and hoping for God to do something new. How in the world could they endure that wait? Or consider Kirsten and Rex and their wait for little CJ. Now thankfully they didn't have to wait 60 years. But it started for them way back in 2014 when they first started doing paperwork and having a home study to determine whether they would be eligible to adopt at all. They did actually become eligible in June 2015 through the agency they were working with, and it took essentially 2 years before they would receive the gift of CJ. How in the world could they endure the wait? I asked Kirsten, she said, honestly, we practiced patience. She continued, I just trusted that if it was meant to be, it would happen. Orchestrated goodness by humans and God is what I called the whole experience, she said. And then she noted, when we didn't get chosen for other kids, I still marveled at the process amidst my disappointment and doubt. You hear what they did? They practiced patience by working the process. So I went and I visited the website of the agency they used to adopt CJ, and they actually have some tips for those who are waiting in the adoption process. It says to continue to educate yourself about adoption and all of your options to become a parent as you wait. They recommend joining an adoption support group. They say to get to know adoptive families, birth families, and adoptees. It says network with friends, family, and associates. They say additionally, establish a timeline and reevaluate your adoption plan at desired intervals. They go on and say that remember that adoption works, but you must have faith, as there may be disappointment along the way. If you remain diligent and constantly reevaluate your plans and adoptions, you will most likely become an adoptive parent. So carefully explore all of your options. Well, as I think about Kirsten's words and these tips from the adoption agency about waiting, I can't help but think that this is similar to what Simeon and Anna were doing. We don't get a lot of details really about Simeon, but it is clear that he is devoted to God. And he's devoted to what God can do. As his brief words about Jesus display, he definitely knows the Hebrew Bible. He recalls that God's servant is to be a light to all the nations. He's aware that God is the great equalizer who desires to put everyone on a level playing field, bringing the high low and the low high. That doesn't come automatically. It comes by being committed to study and to interpretation. It comes by training oneself to be open to the Spirit. He's been working the process as he waits. Now we get a few more details about Anna that you heard this morning. She's so committed that she spends all of her time in the temple praying and fasting, preparing herself for what God will do as she waits. She's working the process. Their devoted and committed lives and their natures help them to practice patience. I've discovered for myself in those times of immense worry, of those times of intense waiting and lack of patience, that I have to put myself to something that's productive and creative. For one, it takes my mind off of whatever I'm dealing with to help me deal with the wait. But it also prepares me to deal with and to respond to what's going on and what's not going on in my life. Have to work the process. But beyond helping them deal with the long wait, I think that working the process of being devoted and committed to God, as Anna and Simeon were, as they spent time studying and interpreting, as they spent time praying, fasting, and worshiping, they became prepared to be able to see what God was doing. In a world that was looking for a Messiah who was a high-class, type-A, get-her-done military and political leader, Simeon and Anna could see in an infant, born to peasant parents, that God had a different vision in mind of how to change the world. Through a little B-list baby who had yet to even prove himself. By working the process, Anna and Simeon, being devoted and committed people, could see in a new way. They could see the untapped potential in this little bitty baby named Jesus. And Kirsten and Rex, who worked the process over 2 years, could see the potential in baby CJ. They received a call on a Tuesday. They said yes on a Wednesday. They drove all day on Thursday to Ohio and received their precious gift of CJ on Friday. Because they were ready. They had worked the process. They had practiced patience. And they could see anew. And friends, we need to work the process too. It's a shame that the story of Simeon and Anna has so often been relegated to the B list, save for Sundays when so few of us are around to actually hear it. For in their story, we see the hard work of waiting. It's not just about sitting around. It's about preparing ourselves to see in a new way. It's about becoming open to see the untapped potential in others, and I mean all others, and even within ourselves. It's about devoting and committing ourselves to know God and to trust God's ways. Even when we can't see beyond our own worry and impatience, when we can't bear to wait 1 second longer. So my friends, I invite you into the hard, hard work of waiting, where God prepares us for more than we ever deserve, and more than we can even understand. Thanks be to God. Amen.